Go ahead and turn in your Bible this morning over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to be looking at a very familiar parable, if you will. And Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27 is where we're going to be today. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. I forgot to mention earlier when we were celebrating the wins that I'm thankful that I was able to get a haircut this past week. Kayla's mom, Julie, came over to the house and cut my hair. I was to the point where I was back in high school and was getting back in my mullet days. My hair was getting so long. So I don't want to relive that, but I'm thankful today to have a little bit shorter hair, and thank you, Julie, for doing such a great job. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. This is, actually at the end of Jesus's probably his greatest sermon that he ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, and it's considered to be a beloved sermon by a lot of Christians, and probably his most well-known message. And, you know, when someone preaches, and I try to do this as often as I can, the last section of a sermon, you kind of try to draw everything together. Here's the summation of what has been said. How can you be challenged in what you've just heard from God's Word? And that's what Jesus does here at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. And he wants his hearers to ask, what does this mean for me? And it's a very important question, because when we read God's Word, we don't want to just read it. I mean, that's an important part of it. But we want to be able to apply it. What does this mean to me personally? How does this apply to my life? And Jesus' illustration here that he uses was a perfect conclusion to his message. He had a working knowledge of carpentry and probably had seen both kinds of houses that are going to be talked about in this parable. So let me give you just a little bit of a background in Israel. In Israel, there are many valleys. We used to call them gullies in Texas. I don't know. But they were often very dry. But during the rains, these gullies, these valleys became filled like with a flash flood. This water would come out of nowhere. And if you know anything about flash flooding, it occurs so quickly that often people are caught off guard. And their situation may become very dangerous if they encounter high, fast-moving water. It can happen many times. People try to travel through this water, and their car is just lifted right up because the water is so forceful. It comes out of nowhere. And if people are in their homes or their businesses, the water can rise quickly, and it can entrap them and cause damage to the property without them ever having a chance to protect their home or their business. And Jesus' hearers could certainly identify with the story and had probably seen it play out many times in their lives. And so Jesus uses this illustration to help us understand a very important principle. Let's read about it. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Two foundations. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus says, and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on the rock. The rains fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it did not collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed, and its collapse was great. Very few verses in this parable, but yet a very powerful statement that Jesus is making here. So let's break it down. Let's talk about it a little bit. So there's two people in this parable. Okay, there's a wise man and a foolish man. And there are similarities between both individuals. Both of them, Jesus said, heard his words, right? Both of them heard the words of Jesus. Again, this is at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. Both of the wise and the foolish people heard the words of Jesus. Jesus had just gotten through preaching the Sermon on the Mount. We talked about that. He stressed some very important things in which he expected his followers, his listeners, to adhere to. And Jesus said both the wise and the foolish man heard these words. They knew his teaching. They knew about it. We also see a similarity that in the story, both built a house. Now, obviously, no one really built a house. Jesus is telling a story here. This is not a factual thing, okay? But he's driving home a point. It's a factual thing, or it's a fictional thing based on facts, okay? So no one really built a house, but Jesus shares this parable to help everyone understand what he was saying. And so when Jesus said the wise and the foolish men built a house, he was saying the wise man built his life upon the words of Jesus, the things that he had just taught. And the foolish man built his life upon, you could say, the principles of the world, his own thinking, things that are contrary to the Word of God. That's what he rested upon. That's what he anchored his life on. Not the words of Jesus, not the words of Christ, but on something else. He refused to listen to the words of Jesus. So both men built a house. And then what's the other similarity? Both had storms, right? Both had difficulty. Both the wise man and the fool had storms in their lives that came. The rains came. The rivers came up. The water flowed. Both endured heartache. Both endured loss. Both endured perhaps humiliation and difficulty. Both of these people endured hardships in life. However, Jesus said one person's life was secure and the other was not. And so there are some similarities, yes, but there are two distinct differences. And I want to talk about that next. The differences are the first guy, the wise man, he built his house on a foundation of rock. And so when Jesus says the wise man built his house, his life, upon the rock, he used the Greek word Petra. It's the same word that he called Peter. Petra means rock. Now I want you to understand something. This, when he used the word Petra here, he didn't mean a small stone or even a boulder. He was talking about a large expanse of bedrock. It was solid. It was unmovable. It was permanent. And so it wasn't just a rock you could pick up and throw. It wasn't even a boulder that you could somehow push. This rock, this expanse of bedrock was immovable. You could not move it. It was permanent. And so Jesus said he built his house on the rock, the wise man. But the other difference is that the foolish man built his house not on a bedrock, not on a solid foundation, but on sand. What do you know about sand? Sand is very loose. It's unstable. It's completely movable. And even a small amount of water is going to wash that sand away. It's going to wash it away, and you're never going to see it again. So there are the differences. So we see two people. We see similarities with these two people. We see differences. The second thing I want to talk about is two different results. So one of the results is the house that was built on the rock. What happened? Jesus said it remained firm. And guys, here's what we need to understand about that. The point that Jesus is making here is that obedience to God's word. Now listen, obedience to God's word is the key to being able to weather the storms that life brings. You know, we see a lot of people today whose lives seem like they're in chaos. And could it be they have not firmly planted their lives on the truths of God's word? You see, in Palestine in this time, there are very few rainfalls. But during the rainy season, the heavy rains would come, excessive flooding would come, it would wash away a poorly grounded home. But the homes that were built on rock, they were able to withstand the heavy rains and the flooding. And here's the bottom line. Here's what Jesus is wanting us to talk about or to understand. The mark of true discipleship is not just in simply hearing these words, but believing upon them and actually putting them into practice. Remember what James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24? He said, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and right away he forgets what kind of man he was." In other words, a person who professes to know Christ but does not obey the things of Christ has no lasting image of what his new life is all about. His experience with the gospel, it's shallow. It's short-lived. And guys, in our culture today, we see people, and even in our churches, we see people whose experience with the gospel is shallow and short-lived. Why is that? Why is their experience with the gospel shallow and short-lived? Why do we see people that at one point we see them on fire for the Lord, and then another time you think they don't have any love for God's word, they've kind of left the church, they don't want to have anything to do with God? It's because they never really embraced God's word. And in doing so, they allowed all these other nonsensical philosophies into their lives that have no grounding at all. And their lives become a mess. Their lives become broken. And when the storms of life come and the difficulties of life come and a crisis of belief comes, they have no firm foundation to go back to. They have nothing to anchor their lives to. They have no truths in order to anchor their lives. And all these things come crashing in, and it just there's this big collapse. They have no grounding. And to them, many times, for them, the Bible, God's Word, is an option among other options. They might have a form of godliness, but in reality, they're not godly. And they don't follow Jesus. They don't follow His words. Let me just say, to profess knowledge of God and His truth, but not follow God obediently and live in His truth, is nothing more than just blowing smoke, right? Let's be honest. And so the house built on the rock is a life of obedience. It's a life of understanding the truth and resting our lives in that. The life that Jesus had just gotten done explaining in the Sermon on the Mount. You can go back and read starting in Matthew 5 over here to the last part here with when Jesus tells his story. Go back and read that. The house built on the rock is a life of obedience. The house built on the rock is a life that empties itself of self-righteousness and pride. And when the storms of life come, and when there's temptation, and when there's confusion, and when there's false teaching, the life that is built upon the solid rock of God's Word, guys, the promise is that it will always prevail. It will not collapse. It will not be broken. It will not be swept away. It will remain strong. Because when you embrace God's Word and you put your hope in Jesus, always, 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 your life will be secure. And that is a promise. That is something that we can take to the bank and rest our lives on. And so that was one of the people. The other thing that we see here is the house, one of the houses collapsed. And the point that Jesus is making here is that sand is not stable. As we talked about earlier, sand is something that is swept away easily. It's composed of, and then thinking about it and making it real, sand is composed of human opinions. It's attitudes and wills that are always shifting and always unstable. And when you build your life on the sand, you're building upon your own self-will, your own self-fulfillment, your own self-righteousness, and what you think is the best. And you know, building your life upon a solid foundation, God's Word, listen, that can be hard. Because sometimes the principles in God's Word, not sometimes, often, the principles in God's Word are contrary to what the world teaches. And it's hard. We're ridiculed. We're called things that we're not. And building your life upon the sand, human will, that's often more attractive. It would be a lot easier for us as Christians just to accept the philosophies that our world teaches today. Our lives would be a lot easier. We'd get along with a lot more people, but that's not what we're called to do. We're called to put our footing, our foundation upon the gospel and the Bible and His Word, the God's Word. And so building our lives upon the sand is often easy. It's attractive. It's faster. It costs much less. Sand is easier to dig in. Rock is difficult to dig in. Let me tell you, I found that out yesterday when we were trying to use a jackhammer to chisel away the concrete in our basement. That was tough. It wasn't easy. But when we got down to the sand underneath, that was a lot easier to dig in. But we had to get there first. Rock is difficult to dig in. It takes a lot more energy. It's a lot more costly. It's easier and cheaper and faster to build upon the sand. Guys, it's always easier to take shortcuts. But you know, somewhere down the line, you're going to get what you paid for. People used to look at us funny when our kids were little. We always tried to get the most for our money when our kids were little. When we were younger, we didn't have as much money, but we always tried to buy our children shoes that cost a little bit more, because we began to realize that when we bought the cheap shoes, they would wear out really quick. And kids can go through shoes quickly, but when we'd buy shoes that were a little bit better made and a little bit more costly, we ended up saving money in the long run, because you get what you pay for, right? Well, the thing is, that's true in life. Things that are superficial, things that require little planning or little effort or little care or little concern for quality or standards, those things are easy. And foolish people build their lives upon these things. They build their lives upon the sand, and they only look for what is pleasing, not for what is right. And for them, church is an option. God's Word is an option. They look for what satisfies themselves rather than the things of God. And many times these people want instant pleasure and rewards rather than eternal rewards that last forever. And while both the wise man and the foolish man built houses, and while those houses may have looked identical, only one house stood the test. Only the man who hears and does God's will, the man whose life is built on the sand, is going to collapse. But the man who builds his house upon the foundation, the bedrock, if you will, of God's Word, is going to remain forever. And the man who built his house on the sand, Jesus said, its collapse is going to be great. It's going to be colossal. To use a word that's thrown around today, it's going to be epic. It's going to be an epic failure. And people wonder why we see brokenness all around us. You see, God originally designed a world in which everything was perfect and it worked, and there was no sin and death and dying, but sin entered the world. Man chose his own way in life. And when we choose our own way in life, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The things that we see today, the death and destruction and suffering, that is not God's plan. And let me just say, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. That's not a very popular message, but it's the truth. Man has chosen his own way, and the choice that we've made is we've seen our society begin to collapse, because no longer do we look to God's Word. We look to self. And that's why we see brokenness all around us. You know, many people wonder why their lives are a mess. Many people wonder why their lives are insecure. It's because of sin. It's because of self. It's because of building our lives on something that is not permanent. God's Word. And so as we think about this very simple message, we have two options in our lives. Here's where we draw everything together. The two options are this. Number one, you can do nothing. You can choose to do nothing. You can choose to live your life according to your way, according to your thinking, according to your understanding. You can take the easy way out. You can satisfy yourself. You can do what is pleasing. You can live for this world alone. You can decide not to heed Jesus' warning. And you can get all in life that you want and take it in and live it up. But you need to understand something. If you choose this path, you're going to have to live with the consequences. There'll be a time when your life will collapse. And that collapse will be great. And there'll be no more opportunities to do anything about it. Because you will be eternally separate from God. One day the Bible says that all of us will die, and then all of us will give an account. What are you going to say your life is resting on at that point? Jesus Christ? Or are you going to say, well, you know, I tried to do my best, and I always tried to pay my taxes on time, and I was a good neighbor, and I did all this good stuff. Those are all great things. But that's not what's going to save you. And there'll be no hope for you in the end. So you can choose to do nothing. But the other choice, let me just say, it's a lot better. You can decide to live your life for Christ. You can make this decision this morning. You can make it right now. Once you build the foundation of your life upon God and His Word, listen, what did Jesus say? Your life is going to be secure. No matter what happens, no matter what storms come, no matter what difficulties come, at the end of this age, guess what? You are going to be with God forever and ever. The storms, yeah, they're going to come. Yeah, there's going to be testing. Yeah, there's going to be persecution. But because your foundation is solid, Jesus said your house will not collapse and you'll be safe forever. He's not talking literally. He's talking spiritually. Your life will be secure. That's why when we as Christians, when we go through difficult times, and when we do lose loved ones, when we go through terrible times of trials and tribulations, we can remain steadfast. Because Jesus is our rock. He's our bedrock. He's unmovable. He will remain forever. And so, that's the best choice. Choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. Because He will be your Savior forever. As you look at this story, which character describes you? Where is your foundation? Where is your hope this morning? Are you secure in Christ, or are you insecure in yourself? It's a very important question to ask of yourself today. I pray that you'll put your hope in the right person, Jesus Christ, that leads to security. I hope that you'll put your hope and your trust in Jesus Christ today. You can do that very easily by admitting to God that you're a sinner. Admitting to Him, yeah, I've got sin in my life. I've blown it. God already knows it. You're not telling Him anything that He doesn't know. You're just agreeing with Him. Yeah, God, I've blown it. I'm a sinner. And then you got to believe that Jesus Christ did actually die on the cross for you. It's not just a sweet little story that we read about in a fairy tale. It actually happened. Jesus died. He died for you and He died for me. And we have to believe that He died and that He came back to life, defeating sin and death and hell. But then most importantly, we have to confess our faith and trust in Jesus. Confess to Him, Lord, no longer am I going to live for self. I'm going to humbly come before You and put my life in Your hands and follow You all the rest of my days so that I can spend the rest of eternity with You. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ. It's as easy as that, ABC, admit, believe, and confess. And you can do that right there where you are this morning. And I pray that you will, that you'll put your faith and trust in Him. And then when you do that, would you tell somebody? You could put it in the comments section here on our Facebook page. You can send us a private message. You can email me. You can text me. You can call me. You can call the church. You can tell somebody in your family. But tell someone, because that's good news. And we want to help you get to the next point in your life. So I want to encourage you with that today. Which character describes you? I hope that you'll be like the wise man. You'll listen to the words of Jesus. You'll put your faith and trust in Him so that your life will be secure. Father, today we thank You for the hope that we have in Jesus. We thank You for this simple little story that You told that means so much. And Father, I pray that You would work among us now. I pray that if there be one today that does not know You, that today they would come to know You as Lord and Savior. Lord, we love You, we praise You, and we thank You. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, Andrew's going to come lead us in a song of dedication, an invitational song. It's a song where God is inviting you to come to Him with whatever you have, whatever need, whether it be salvation or you want to recommit your life or you just need to get right with Him in some way. It's an invitation for you to come to Him. He will receive you. He will give you a second chance. He will open His arms. That's a great thing about God. Go back and read the parable of the prodigal son. That'll tell you all about it. His arms will be wide open as you come back to Him. I pray that you would. As Andrew leads his song of commitment, you make your decision for Christ today.